You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
How's it going? I'd like to first of all thank Pastor Ted and the elders for allowing me the privilege to get up here and share to you all. It's an amazing privilege, and I'm glad that it only took Pastor Ted 15 years to see this in me to get up and finally have a go. I'd like to also thank Pastor Harry and Pastor Seal for coming along and supporting me. I've known them for a long time too. Worked with Harry. It's wonderful. I want to introduce a guest myself. Gabe Ellis, come on up. This is my boy Gabe. And he's going to pray for us to get it started. Stand up here so people can see you. Inside voice, you've got a microphone.
How beautiful I am.
Okay, now pray.
Jesus, I pray over this night for us to gather together, all of us, and worship you in our house. I just hope all the bad people who don't believe in you can stop what they're doing, turn to you, and start believing you. He died over the cross to give us the life we need to live. Yes. And also when he said to me that Noah's building an ark to crush all those people who are doing wrong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's always a risk. You never know what he's going to say. Thank you. Off to kids' church. There is actually an example. That's why I got him up here, because there's actually an example that I wanted to use him for, and I thought I'd give you a bit of an insight to his thinking. I call this bringing the flavour, and we're going to start off at Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a light stand, so that they can give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Who loves MasterChef? Pastor Jan. I love cooking shows, and you know, this probably had a little bit to do with my message, but how good is flavour? We've all got our own little flavour, haven't we? You know, I reckon when God made us, he didn't just pick up a little bit of dirt. He would have picked up the best dirt and breathed life into it and made us and sprinkled a little salt on it. Okay. The one thing about salt is it brings flavour. And you'll notice that on all these cooking shows, it's always, have you seasoned it? Have you been tasting it? And if you put too much on, it's terrible. It's no good. It's salty. If you don't put enough on, it's bland. And wrecks your meal, according to these professionals, but I'll still eat it. But if you get just the right amount, just put the right amount on, it enhances what's already there. You know, and that's the same with our walk. And I'm going to do a bit of name dropping now, and there's a guy at church here that has so much flavour, so brings so much joy to me, and I don't think he's ever spoken, when I've turned up church, he's never really preached the gospel at me, but the joy of the Lord shines through him amazingly. When you come to church, you know, it's always a smooth ride coming to church, especially with kids. You're never having arguments or anything, so it's all a bit like this when you're going to church. Kids carrying on. Liz yelling. Liz is going off a brain. And anyway, you pull into the car park, and it's so funny. Robbie and I always have a laugh about this, because you pull into the car park and you get out, and then the church face comes on. Everyone's all wonderful. And then you walk up, and you're inside, you're still a bit like this, and you come up and you see Ben Lorentzen up there, big smile on his face. The kids run up. Hello, Mr. Ben. He's got this flavor that just changes people. It changed, and God moves through that. And it's not that he's doing any big gospels or any preaching or anything like that. It's just the joy of the Lord shines through. He's got this flavor. It's amazing. And when you see it, it just brings something out in you. You just want to run over. You just want to say good day to him. And, you know, as Christians, a lot of the time we don't have that. We don't have that joy everywhere we go. When things get bad, we can get a bit downcast, and it's hard to, you know, push through and show the joy of the Lord, show that flavor, show that seasoning that God's put in us. And it, you know, circumstances of life makes it hard, but you've got to rise above that, rise above your circumstance. You can't always control what happens to you, what the world's doing, what people say to you, what people do to bring you down, but you can always control the way you act, the way you react to what they're doing. And that's where God moves. That's the places where God moves. When we're at the table, some of our best fights are fighting over who's going to pray over the meal. And you know what? The one who doesn't want to pray, they're the one I always make pray. Because that's when God moves. As Christians, when we're sharing the gospel, we like to share it to our friends. And you've got those people that they love the Lord so much, and they just try to really, and it can be really forceful and pushy on people, and they've got, like, got them pinned down, and they're shoving the Bible down their throat. And you know, that's too much seasoning. And it leaves a bitter taste in people's mouth. And it turns them away. And it puts them off God. And then you've got the ones that sort of just drop it in. They don't say God or anything like that, but you'll be talking, they'll say, oh yeah, and you'll rattle off a little scripture that's very vague, and you know, they end up with a bland taste in their mouth. Or you can do it the right way. Oh, it's probably not the right way, but the way I do it, I like to just in, well, it probably is the right way then, but you know, I just want to give them enough. If there's something going wrong in their life, you talk to them, you listen to them, you share truths of the gospel to them without forcing it down their throat. And it's amazing, because not only do they get it, not only do they, it direct them towards God, but it also leaves them wanting more. Like when you have a good seasoned meal, you want some more, and you can never get enough, and you can never get enough, and you start looking like me. But these are things that I truly believe with all my heart. I really believe that evangelism is a really hard thing for some people. And going about it the right way can be really hard. And it can, you know, I'm just going to go off par here. We're talking about celebration this morning. If something's resonating in your spirit, yell out. Annette?
Yes, sir.
Yell out. Say amen. Come in agreeance. It's nothing like a reality. Is they're all really quiet? I don't know. Can't, yeah, tough crowd. I don't know how to gauge it, you know. But once again, we all have flavor. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. It's important to know your identity in Christ. If you don't know your identity, it's hard to share. Gabe, I got him up here today because Gabe is, he's that kid in our family. He's a legend. I love Gabe. I love the way he carries himself and everything. But the thing is, he's a bit different. He dances through the world to a different beat. You know, those who have seen my Facebook posts would know the things that he does. And he just doesn't think like anyone else. And, you know, there's times where God's moving and doing stuff, and you see things and you can read it over and over again, but you don't really have that revelation. And then one day it's like your eyes are open to what God's doing. Well, who was at the Christmas show, Carol show last year? Okay, you would have seen Gabe in his finest. Okay, I'll set it up for you. They have face painting. So what does a 9-year-old kid get his face painted as? He gets a pair of sunglasses painted on, and a big curly moustache. And I'm like, I see him and I go, what's this kid doing? What kid gets that done? Next thing, he disappears for a while and they're all singing up out in the car park. Next minute, he comes over with this cardboard box cut around, and that's his car. He's drawing all the lights and everything on it. And I'm like, could this get any better? Yes, it does. He found these balloons, these helium balloons tied up. Chucks them in the back of his car. And he's walking around the crowd thinking he's great. Walking in front of the stage, these balloons blocking everyone's view. Picking up people's cans, walking around. Just, like, it was... Well, Liz was up there, so it was a real distraction. And I could see Liz up there just going... But it was a real distraction. But God's flavour. God, I was looking at him and I'm... Everyone was laughing. All the boys, young fellas are laughing at him. And I'm like, oh... I could do nothing but laugh. I was more laughing at Liz because she couldn't do anything up on stage. But God's got this flavour in him. And I have never met anyone in my life that is so comfortable in their identity in Christ as Gabe. He didn't give a rip what anyone thought. He was doing his own thing. And God opened up my eyes to it. And I'm looking at him and I saw for the first time, I saw how amazing he was. And how bold he was. And how nothing would hinder him. And God said to me, you know what? That's the flavor that's going to bring me glory. That's the boldness that's going to bring me glory. And I see this young fella. And like to get up here, I said, Gabe, can you do a prayer for us before we start? Yep, no worries. He has this boldness in Christ. People will talk about Halloween at school and he'll cut them down. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. And it just brings me joy to know that my kids just has that boldness to, and not scared to speak the gospel because I fall into it. I fall into not preaching God when I should. When I started doing jiu-jitsu, I'm down at the club and the fellas would ask, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, yeah, I just got this thing on. I just got this thing on. Because as Christians, we worry about what people think. What people think of us. Oh, he goes to church. Oh, I better steer clear of him. And that's what I was thinking. I don't want them to get a pre-thought of me. I didn't really want them to, oh, I can't say nothing around him. He's a Christian, you know. And that's not what I wanted. So I'd say, oh, yeah. And then they cottoned on after a while and they go, you're going to church. So they'd ask me, where are you going? I'd say, oh, I'm going to church. And they'd go, oh, you got a thing on, have you? You got a thing on. So they started... But they embraced it, and it's opened up opportunity for Liz and I to be able to do things and use God's love. And it's about loving people where they are. Yeah, yeah, choke them out. I'll choke you in the name of God. But it is, it's about showing that love, unconditional love. And it's not always easy. You know, you see people there that are sinning, like Pastor Ted spoke this morning about... people having sex before marriage and stuff like that, and you can know about it. And a lot of the time as Christians, we look down our nose at them and we sit there and we go, oh, gee, you know, and you start judging them and you say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You should change your life. You shouldn't be sinning like that. Who are we? Who are we to tell people? That's not our job. We sin. We're human. We're flawed. I still sin. I don't, not proud of it, but the fact of the matter is we're humans yes. and we are going to sin, yes. but we're forgiven. Hallelujah. And they need to know that. And we need to be the bridge to get them back to Jesus. We need to be the place where they can know that they're going to be loved like Jesus loved everyone. They need to know that they're loved in spite of where they're at. Let God do the rest. Yes, let God move in their hearts, and he will. Because I was one of those people. 15 years ago, I was a foul-mouthed jerk, drug addict. And I wouldn't have called myself a jerk 10 years ago, but it's true. And I didn't want to hear a bar of the Bible. And then someone invited me to church, and I said, no, I'm not going. Then they invited me again. No, I'm not going. And then, yeah. And eventually I went to youth, and it was, I just saw all these happy, clappy ceiling scratches, and I'm like, oh, I'm a bit out of my element here. But from that moment, they started singing worship. I saw my wife there. I went, should I tell them the story? Tell them the story? My first impression of my wife, they had this cafe at youth, and Liz was there singing. And I remember sitting there looking up, thinking, who does this Sheila think she is? That was my first impression. And God can change your heart. The closer you get to Him, He can give you the most perfect wife ever. The Bible says we are to correct our brothers when they're doing wrong. True?
Yes.
The problem is we're trying to correct them before they're brothers. We sit there and we're judging them and they haven't even come to Christ yet. And it's a trap that we all fall into. You know, and so when I was talking before about at the club, it's a sin. I was sinning every time I said, oh, I've got something on. Because do you know what I've done? I've denied Christ. I'm no better than Peter by doing that. So we need to find the flavor and just speak the truth. You know, God is good. God is wonderful. And you'll find that you get in discussions with people that don't like church. And you'll be talking to them. And they'll be going, oh, but this scripture says. And you've got to try to rebuttal it. Then they bring out another scripture to, especially the ones that are intellectual, that know the Bible. They're the worst ones to argue. And you can argue and argue and argue and nothing's going to happen. You're going to get nowhere. What can't they argue with? What God has done in your life. They cannot argue with what God has done in my life. I was down here and God gave me purpose. God gave me a love for people that I never had before. God gives me something in my heart that wants to help people. There's, listen, every time I say we've done this, we've done that, it's not right. It's what God's done in us that compels us to do these things. And there was a while there, we were cooking meals for people down at the club. We'd be down there and someone would get sick, we'd cook a meal. Someone was pregnant, we'd buy them baby clothes or something like that. Someone was just, we'd even do it randomly just for the sake of doing a meal or something like that. And it doesn't take much to show God's love to people. And you know what's amazing about it? You know what makes me laugh? I sit there and giggle because a lot of them they're hurt Christians. And so they don't really want a bar of it. But the amazing thing is, they start cooking meals for people when they're sick. They start buying clothes and and God's moving through them and they don't even know it. Yeah. And it's an amazing thing. And listen, I have a bit of a chuckle because they're like, arr. But they're doing things for the Lord, whether they like it or not. Yes. And it's an amazing thing to see. You know, God's love is working through us. Works through us in everything we do. And we can be a light, or we can be one of these miserable Christians sitting there. Woe is me, you know, things are tough. They said if I tithe, you know, it would come back to me. Rah, rah, rah. And we all know, none in this church, of course. But, you know, how does that bring glory to His name? When you're going through the tough things, that's when God is ready to shine. That is when God is ready to shine in His voice, in everything you do. How you react when you're at work, when things aren't going your way, and they can see you getting frustrated. They're waiting for you to snap. They're waiting for you to swear. They're waiting for you to do something wrong because they know you're a Christian, and they want to. They're quick to point it out too. So be aware of who's around you because they're looking for a slip up. Because if you don't slip up, if you react well, they're going to know that God's real. They know that God's real in your life. You know, do we want to be light of the world or the black cloud of judgment and misery? Because people need Jesus. People need Jesus. And do we, the people that need Jesus, they've already got enough doom and gloom in their life. They don't need us judging them and putting them down and trying to convict them into coming to Christ. God will do that. We just need to be there. We need to be available. We need to look for opportunities where we can see God move. One time, Liz and I, there was a little boy at Gabe's school in his footy team, and his bike got stolen. And they were devastated, and his dad he'd been out of work for a while. And straight away, we both saw it together and said, right, we've got to get this kid a bike. So we got this kid a bike and we went round there and we weren't really super friendly with his parents or anything. We just went round there and said, here you go, here's a bike for him. And they don't know how to react. And it wasn't a great deal of money, but it was a new bike and I can guarantee you, That kid will always remember the day those people bought me a bike when mine got stolen. God's going to move. God's going to move. We're believing that God is going to move in their lives and touch their hearts and see people saved and see a nation saved. Do we want to see this city saved? Starts with love. Just got to love them in spite of where they are. Even though, like I see, I've been around Pastor Ted for so long, you see people and they come in and they come out of your life and everything, and I sit down, I'm so frustrated. And I sit down and think, oh, I'd be wiping my hands of them. Not anymore, of course. But I sit there and think, I don't know how you do it. But Pastor Ted has this amazing ability to love. Even when people may not be doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing against him, he has this amazing ability to love. And that is one thing that I've really taken from you. there's people who guess, oh, they're right, you just got to give them a chance. I'm trying, Pastor. I'm trying. You're not always going to gel with everyone, are you? Let's be real. But you can still love them. The first time I met Pastor Ted, I'd been going to youth for a little while, and he had just given up the reins to my soon-to-be brother-in-law. And I was at the youth group for a while, and then God moved in my heart. And I started wanting more, wanting more, wanting more. And I went to church. And the first time I saw Pastor Ted, I was standing there, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "How's it going, Brendan?" And I said, No, only joke. He came up to me. Get away, kid. No, he came up to me and goes, "How's it going, Brendan?" And I said, "Who are you and how do you know my name?" And he goes, "I'm Pastor Ted, and it's my job to know your name." And that is probably one of the standout moments and why I'm probably still in church. Because I came to church and I was loved. I was showered with love. Pastor Harry gave me a job. he's mental. That is a testament to his perseverance, you know, and loved me like a son. Pastor Ted, Pastor Amanda, loved me like a son when I didn't know any different. Liz loved me like the gorgeous specimen of a black guy. But I was loved. Yeah, that's one thing that people say when they come to this church. They come up to the front and they are loved. They are showered with love, because it's something to be superficial and say, "Oh yeah, how's it going? Nice to see you. Old mate." And you can't remember their names. But when you come, people remember your name and people love you. Before I came to church, I'd gone years without getting any birthday presents. For years, from no one. And I came to church. There's a good ending. Someone get that lady some tissues. Okay. And I was going to home group. How old was I? I would have been about 20. She's had her eye on me for a while. I was 27. And I remember going to a home group, and it was my birthday. Yeah, I was turning 27. And I was showered with gifts. They all had presents for me. They had a cake for me. And I'm like, can't wait for Christmas. But it was a love. And it's a love that you give people. It's a thing that you sacrifice, even though it may not be reciprocal, even though they may push you away, even though they may not want it. It's worth going for that risk, isn't it? It's worth letting people know, you know what, I love you. I'm thinking of you. It doesn't take much. You can be the person that sends someone a text just to let them know you're thinking of them. Cook someone a meal. You can take them out. You can be a shoulder to cry on. You can be the listening ear. You can give a compliment. You can give them a smile. crunchy. That'll change the colour of their day. You can wave to them. And you can also tell them about the awesome thing that God's done in your life. No matter how far you're down, you know, God pulled me out. He can do the same for you. Okay. With every eye closed and every head bowed, first of all, I'll give everyone an opportunity to give your heart to the Lord. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, put your hand up, and I would love to pray for you. You know, if you want to rededicate your life, no better time than today. So just raise your hand, and I would love to pray for you. Okay. For those who felt that their lights have dimmed a little bit, that they're not as seasoned as they have been, and they want to get to that place, come out the front and the leaders will pray for you. If you need a little sprinkling of salt for what God's doing for you, if you need a little bit of boldness to share the gospel, come out the front. Father God, I lift up tonight to you. I thank you that you have been there for me in my life. I thank you that you have taken me from the lowest of lows and brought me to your heights. I pray over everyone here, Father, I pray that they are well seasoned. They are bold. They know what you have done in their life and they are willing to share it with others, Father. I pray for your joy and your love to fill our hearts and to overflow so that we know the boldness to stand up, to preach your name, to share your love with others, Father. I pray all this and dedicate it to you in your mighty name. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.